from the broadcast booth, handling the color duties tonight on the broadcast, former Patriot, Matt Chatham joins us. Hey, Matt.
Fellas, thanks for having me on. What's up?
Well, preseason game number one. These are the games that a lot of people make the mistake of saying are not important or not worth your time. And I know you've written recently about this, and I know you've said this for a long time, but these games do mean something, right?
Yeah, I know it's parsing a little bit. Clearly, they don't count it in any kind of standings, but they're very meaningful, I think, for the vast majority of guys. Beyond just going to make the team, not going to make the team, usually the conversation is the coach to play a little more, to target you more if you happen to have already been a part of the offense, to give the ball more often in the backfield if that's your gig, to make yourself a bump from a backup that plays, you know, strictly special team to someone who can earn a role a little bit more with the offense or defense. Those are little side stories that are always going on in these things. And, yeah, of course, those don't affect your core, your 5, 6, 7 star guys. But for a lot of guys, this is a very important night.
Matt, do you feel like these games are more important now just given the practice rules and sort of the prohibitions on contact to help guys sort of show what they can do and also get ready for the season?
Yeah, I do, Chris. And it's something I feel very strongly about. I think in part from, you know, the 10 training camps that I went through, there was a couple. I had one where I had a hamstring issue and I basically missed camp and then had to be ready for week one. You know, got myself up ready to go for that last week. I feel like trash the whole season. I really feel strongly that, especially if you happen to be playing a position where you endure a lot of contact, you have to give it and take it, that helps. You need to go through the bumps and bruises and scraping and callousing and all those kinds of things now, so you're not doing it in the middle of a game week. So I think, to your point, Chris, the idea that it's just volume cut down, that the practices are lighter as far as just the time spent out there, the rep number of guys getting, it's lower. So it's definitely to your benefit to get your knocks now. Because they're not going to come later. They've really restricted everything.
Matt, what do you make of the Patriots training camp to this point? It seemed to have a little bit of a different pace, and Bill Belichick spoke just the other day about the install being a little bit slower with there being no joint practices. It feels like it's a little different than previous years.
Yeah, I've sensed that same thing, too, but I don't know if necessarily the players feel that way. The ones I've chatted with say, it kind of feels normal. So it might be more perception than reality, but I think the one thing that really has hit guys, it'll be good for the early month, is we've had a hellacious round of weather here. Not so much hitting 100 degrees like they're getting down south, but the humidity has been out of this world. So even if you're getting a, you know, what feels like an 85% kind of day instead of we're all doing goal line period every day for 2.5 hours, a whole practice for 2.5 hours, when you're wearing that amount of gear, you're fully taped, there haven't been a lot of short stays, they've mainly been full pads, that stuff does wear on you. So I know sometimes I try not to, you know, allow myself to get lulled into that, sitting up in the stands going, it doesn't look that bad, but it sucks when you're in that gear. You're happy when this part's over and you get into the real thing.
Matt, what have you seen so far in training camp? And I know, obviously, there's not game planning. It's mostly install.
Sure.
But just the change in defensive coordinator, go from Matt Patricia to Brian Flores. Have you noticed anything? Is there anything that has stood out to you defensively?
Yeah, not really. And I've been trying to find that, to be honest with you guys. I wanted to see, okay, is he has a preference more for a little less nickel, go back to some base stuff? Is he using more of the three safety as opposed to multi-corners for sub? Is there some little quirk that he's going to go with? Is he a higher pressure guy, which, quite frankly, you can't learn at this time of year because it's all installed, but nobody wants to run a bunch of blitzes here this early. So I think at this point they're essentially a couple weeks in installing the stuff they always would. What's different, if you're over there looking at the defense, is all the new faces, guys. It's crazy. The group that they walked out onto the field with for that Super Bowl is just fundamentally different. There's as many as 6 new faces on the defensive side of the ball that run with that first group. Your Dante Hightowers, but Adrian Claiborne, Danny Shelton, Jason McCourty with some of the packages. Dietrich Wise only played 6 plays in the Super Bowl, and he's looking like he's going to have a bigger role. So as much as the coordinator thing, I'm just thinking faces of the team on that defensive side of the ball going to feel much different this year.
Mark Bertrand, Chris Gasper, Field Devil, Matt Chatham in the broadcast booth. Matt, I'm sure tonight we're going to see a flag at some point under the league's new helmet rule. What do you think of this rule, and what do you expect to see in terms of implementation?
Well, I don't want to, you know, use hyperbole, but it's the worst rule in the history of sports. So, it just, again, and you guys work in media, clearly. I mean, journalism backgrounds, language arts of some sorts. Like, you know, you live in a world of words. This is a badly, poorly written rule. It's just the language that stinks. The notion of trying to take out a Ryan Shazier hit, that makes sense. But that was language that already existed. That's spearing. You want to keep the crown from not being involved. The problem with this new rule is it's so incredibly vague. Any dropping of the helmet is purportedly could bring a flag. And that's going to mar a football game. I don't know if they're willing to mar their product, but I was very disappointed in just simply the way it was written. It's ridiculous on a lot of grounds, but, you know, I think at some point they muck up a couple of these preseason games and we get into anthem nonsense if we're hitting September and that's a story. And you're going to want one of these things to not be a story, so maybe they pull them back.
Do you think there's anything to the idea that in preseason, you know, they try and sort of throw as many as they can just to try and recondition guys, and that once we get to the real games that actually matter, they'll be a little more lenient and understanding?
Yeah, it's part of it. I mean, I've never liked that philosophy that you sort of acknowledge it's bad, overthrow, and then correct later. Like, I don't get it. Just do it right and then call it right. I mean, it's practice for them as well. Think of it from a player's standpoint. Are you going to go out and throw 20 incompletions just so you can learn from those incompletions so you do it right when it starts? No, I think you practice how you want to do it. I simply don't like the philosophy behind this thing. And I'm a tall guy. I'm a 6'4 guy. And a lot of these guys that are on that defensive side of all the Kyle Van Noys, Dietrich Wise, these are tall human beings. The notion of a 5'9", 5'10", whatever running back coming through the line and going into his crouch and you having to meet his crouch when you're, you know, 6'7", 8'9" taller than the guy, it's humanly impossible. At some point, to get to his level, you do have to drop your head. Your body crouch isn't as low as his. It seems like no one knows that, and I think that's obviously very frustrating.
I think if there's one thing, we will see it a lot in the preseason. I'm curious to see what the change is, Matt, going from how they call it in the preseason, because they're obviously trying to get guys to do their job differently,
yeah,
versus what we're going to see in a month. And I wonder if maybe we shouldn't overreact to what we're about to see in the preseason, because I think we're going to see a lot of flags. I think we're going to see this a lot.
Yeah, and I think the thing that'll become most antagonizing is if they're away from the ball, if they're not instrumental, right? I mean, you get holding on each and every call to varying degrees, but when it becomes over the top, that's when the flag comes out, especially if it's the point of attack. With this safety stuff, they're claiming, you know, you could have on the other side of the field, away from the point of attack, somebody doing just a very mundane blocking technique where you have to drop your head because everyone in the stance does. And you see a flag across the field on a big completion that's brought back. I mean, that's not something anyone here wants to see. This stadium's not going to be full this week or any of the other seasons to watch the guys wearing the black and white. They're here for the red, white, and blue. So to me, it doesn't make much of sense to start, you know, putting those guys on trading cards and talking about them too much. We don't need that.
Hey, Matt, you excited for the call with Rochie tonight? Or what?
I am. Sunshine is right next to me. He's glowing. I'm wearing, you know, shades just to keep around all the happiness. But we're going to have a blast. This is going to be fun, guys.
What's the pregame prep been like up there in the booth?
You know, Rochie's he's a thorough guy. He's on top of his stuff. He makes me feel like I'm dogging it. So I think I know this team pretty well, but Rochie knows him top to bottom himself.
Is he an ice water guy or a tea guy or a coffee guy? What is he?
He's a water guy. I was going to say water brand, but then I froze because I don't know if the Sports Hub has a water brand.
I don't think we do.
Okay. But so, tap.
Thinking fast on your feet there. That's great.
Rochie's a tap guy.
He's a tap guy. Not
man,
a sparkling
man of the people,
guy.
Rochie.
Man of the people, Dan Roach. So it'll be Dan Roach and Matt Chatham tonight on the call. Matt, good luck. Looking forward to hearing you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That is Matt Chatham joining us from the broadcast booth as a crowd shuffles in here at Gillette Stadium. About expected for a preseason crowd. A little lighter than usual. There's not exactly a rush to get to your seats for kickoff. You know, maybe some tailgating that is happening out in the parking lots. It's not as humid as it has been in recent days. I will say
no,
that.
No, it's starting to be actually a pretty nice night. And I think it's a good one thing we don't talk about with these preseason games is that there's a lot of people that this is the first time or maybe the only time they get to come to the stadium.
And there are plenty of people here. And it is August in New England, so...
Behaving?
What's that?
Is he behaving?
To the best of his abilities.
Huh?
To the best of his abilities.
How are you guys doing?
Robert Kraft, Patriots owner, with us here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're doing well. How about you?
Football's back.
I'm very excited. Are you?
Very.
You must be. Correct. You must be excited.
Smiling, so I had to crash the party.
All right. Very good. You can crash the party anytime you want. Robert Kraft swinging on through here on Patriots Preview. That's not bad.
No, it's not bad. He made it quick. I had a Brady question all queued up.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did.
You want to ask him?
I was just about to go.
You missed your chance. I thought you were going to jump in there and ask him.
Yeah.
Tom Brady was here a moment ago, and he is in full uniform, but I don't expect we'll see him playing tonight. We will cover injuries, weather, and everything before kickoff coming up next.